नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद शिवद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग ऑन द थर्ड कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद भागवतम। So yesterday we completed the first chapter of the third canto. So in that we saw that Vidura, on his way to, while he was doing his Tirtha Yatra, happens to meet Uddhava on the banks of Saraswati. So having heard about the passing away of the Kauravas and Krishna and the Yadus, he inquires. Without directly confronting Uddhava, he inquires about their welfare. And then towards the end, he actually, after inquiring about the welfare of everyone, he actually says that, I lament for Dhritarashtra, who will fall to hell because, there is no question of asking about his welfare, because for all that he has performed, for all the things that he has performed, there is no question of his getting a favorable destination, or there is no question of his being, of his welfare. Okay. And then he says that by the mercy of the Lord and being able to see the lotus feet of the Lord, who is hidden from the vision of ordinary men, I wander the holy places without any doubts. So, by the mercy of the Lord, it is mentioned that the Lord spoke to, who was drowning in an ocean of mercy after being driven out, out of separation from Krishna. The Lord approached Vidura, and the Lord revealed himself to Vidura within his heart and told him, Oh Vidura, you are my greatest devotee. Are you lamenting because of separation from me? Having given my promise to you now, you will see me wherever you travel, since I will go there before you. So in this way, he blessed Vidura. But even after the death of Duryodhana, when Yudhishthir gained his kingdom, still Vidura was able to see Krishna without any effort. Okay. But after the Supreme Lord's disappearance Leela, when he disappeared from this earth, that vision was withdrawn from Vidura. Therefore, Vidura was again disturbed. So then, speaking to Uddhava, Vidura says that even though the Lord could have immediately killed all the kings who were intoxicated with pride, but in order to relieve the devotee's suffering, he tolerated the offenses of the Kurus. So it is not that the Lord overlooked their offenses, because one should not say, Lord did not kill them, so looks like he overlooked their offenses. No. He did not overlook their offenses. The Lord wanted to fulfill the desires of the devotees. Their suffering of feeling separation from himself. He wanted to create a context for that. And he also wants to give the credit to his devotees for killing. Even though the devotees give that credit back to Krishna. So it's a back and forth. And also understanding that killing them at once would not vanquish all the evil rulers. So he collected all of them together in at one place, and then, like he did with Jarasandha. And another thing that he says is, अजस्य जन्मोत्पतनाशनाय कर्माण्य कर्तुर्ग्रहणाय पुंसाम नन्वन्यताकोर्हतिदेहयोगम परोगुणानाम उत कर्मतंत्रम। सो ही सेज दैट इवन दो द लॉर्ड इज विदाउट बर्थ ही अपियर्ड इन दिस वर्ल्ड टू डिस्ट्रॉय द विकेड एंड इवन दो ही इज विदाउट एक्शन ही परफॉर्म्ड एक्शंस टू अट्रैक्ट द डिवोटीज। On the other hand, the jivas of this world are dependent on karma and rebirth. So how can one who is beyond the gunas take a body and perform material actions? So he is telling that Vidura is clarifying to Uddhava that when I am asking you about the activities of Krishna and his birth, etc., about his pastimes, I am very much aware that Krishna's birth is not like ordinary birth. His birth is real. At the same time, when the scriptures speak about the Lord is unborn, ajanma, akarta, he does not perform any actions. The devotee accepts that also as true because he has no material actions impelled by the modes and he has no material birth which is impelled by karma and he does not get a material body. But like that. So he describes, how. So therefore, we saw in this context yesterday that a devotee accepts, both the Bheda, Abheda, and the Achintya aspects of the Supreme Lord. The Bheda, where it is very clearly mentioned that the Supreme Lord has no birth, no action, unlike the ordinary living entities. So the Vaishnava accepts, okay, in what context this is true. So whenever the scriptures say that he has no material birth, no material, no action, no birth, it means he does not have a birth like an ordinary jiva. He does not perform actions like an ordinary jiva impelled by the three modes. And at the same time, when the scriptures talk about his birth and his activities, his pastimes, etc., the Vaishnava understands that, okay, these are all transcendental and these are not material. And at the same time, he also understands the Achintya, that how it is not possible for even the devotees to conceive how the Lord could simultaneously, how the Lord could do it, how he could take birth but not have any of these characteristics of the birth of an ordinary living entity, how he could perform actions which seemingly are exactly like ordinary material activities but still not have any impetus, any material impetus, but still perform actions which look exactly like material activities. This is inconceivable. The devotees. Okay. So, how the Lord appears in a self same body by his internal potency and not through his external potency. And even though he performs, his disappearance pastime, leaving behind a body, but still the self same body, in the self same body, he has traveled to the next place where the same pastime is happening. So, these are theoretical acceptance of the devotee, but still he understands that how the Lord does it, that is inconceivable to the devotee. So the devotee accepts the inconceivable nature. So acceptance of the inconceivable nature is the beginning of understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, in this context, we were discussing yesterday that inconceivability is not necessarily a pinprick for a devotee. He does not feel like, oh, I don't understand the Supreme Lord, so I feel really bad about it. No. To the extent he understands, he glorifies. And when he does not understand the Supreme Lord, that is also a cause of glorification. Oh, my Lord is so great that I cannot understand my Supreme Lord. I cannot even understand my Supreme Lord. What to speak of glorifying? Even that becomes a cause of celebration. So for a Vaishnava who is concerned only about glorifying the Supreme Lord, conceivability of the Lord's powers, pastimes is a reason to celebrate, and inconceivability of the Lord's appearance and pastimes is also a reason to celebrate. Why? Because of the affection. Just like we saw the example yesterday of a father and mother attending the, you know, the Nobel Prize speech of their son. You know, even though he may be speaking something which they may not understand, even that inconceivability is joyous because of that love. So, therefore, devotees are not really, to the extent the Lord reveals himself, to that extent the devotees are happy. Because they are focused only on glorifying the Supreme Lord. Okay. So, then we saw that, O friend, even though the Lord is without birth, he appears in the Yadu dynasty for his pure devotees who follow his instructions and for the surrendered kings. Please describe the pastimes of Krishna, who is famous as the best place of pilgrimage. So this was the thing that he said. Please speak about the pastimes of Krishna. So this is what Vidura has requested Uddhava. So now let us start the second chapter. Just give me 1 second. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's start. So the second chapter is titled as Uddhava Remembers Krishna. You know, this series of chapters are very sweet. Uddhava's personal remembrance of Krishna. So outside of Vrindavan, Uddhava is said to be the closest to Krishna, the most exalted. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you see, the Narada Muni's search for the greatest recipient of mercy actually stops with Uddhava. Not because Uddhava is the greatest recipient of mercy, because Uddhava speaks about the glorious position of the Vrajavasis. So, in fact, Uddhava in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Uddhava's narration is the most heart-wrenching narration. Even though, you know, he was always with Krishna in Mathura, in Dwaraka. But nevertheless, Uddhava says that till now, I thought that I was, I received the most mercy from Krishna. Why? Because I had so much association of Krishna. So much personal association of Krishna. But then, after Uddhava got an opportunity to go to Vrindavan to deliver the message to the Vrajavasis, Uddhava said, I thought I was the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy, but the greatest mercy that Krishna has given to me is not actually giving me his personal association, but actually giving me the association of the Vrajavasis. That is the greatest mercy. And Uddhava, even though he could have delivered his message and gone back to Krishna, Uddhava actually stays there for much longer than what was needed for him to stay in Vrindavan. Because He considers the association of the Vrajavasis is more fortunate than the association of even Krishna. So, outside of Vrindavan, Uddhava is the greatest recipient of even the Yadus. When Narada Muni approaches the Yadus, because the Pandavas told Narada Muni, we are not the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. You please go to Dwaraka and meet the Yadus. They are the greatest recipients. So in Dwaraka, the Yadus said, you know, amongst all of us, there is no one as fortunate as Uddhava. He always gets to have the association of Krishna. He is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And then Uddhava starts speaking about the Vrajavasi's fortune. So, Uddhava is considered to be in mixed Sakya and Dasya rasa with Krishna. He has a mixture of rasas. Of course, a kind of compatible mixture of Sakya and Dasya rasas. So, yeah, someone says Uddhava went to VIHE, Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education. Yeah. He was educated by the original VIHE teachers, you know, the gopis. You know, they taught him. He was the original student and they were the original teachers at VIHE. Yes. So, now let's start. So, Shukadev Goswami continues. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Bhagavata Prishtaha Kshatra Vartam Priyashrayam Prativaktum Nachotseha Utkantyatsmariteshwaraha. Kshatra Iti Bhagavata Prishtaha. When Vidura asked Uddhava, Vartam Priya Ashrayam, for news concerning Krishna, Prativaktum Nacha Utseha. Uddhava actually could not respond due to pain. Out of pain, outkantya, due to separation from Krishna, smarita ishwaraha, but he began to remember the Supreme Lord. So when you know, when Vidura asked about Krishna, how could Uddhava, who was being reminded, of course not that he needed a reminder to remember Krishna, but when there was a pointed remember, pointed request to speak about Krishna, you know, you are forced to remember Krishna in a deeper way. And for a devotee who is so close to Krishna, who has such deep love for Krishna, you know, that remembrance leads to deep pain due to feelings of separation. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes here, in the second chapter, Uddhava, his face washed in tears because of disturbance due to prema, describes the pastimes of Krishna in Braja until the rasa dance. Uddhava, fainting because of increased prema in separation from Krishna, spoke. Just give me a second. Sorry. He spoke without being able to reply to the questions of Vidura. By this, he shows his condition. He began to remember the Lord when his fainting was broken by the loud questions of Vidura. So, he had already fainted. But because of the loud questions of Vidura, he woke up and he started hearing. Okay. And who was this Uddhava? Yah panchahaya no matra pratar ashaya yachitah tannai chadrachayan yasya saparyam bala leelaya. Yah panchahayanah, when he was only 5 years old, rachayan yasya, making an image of Krishna, this Uddhava, saparyam bala leelaya, he used to offer items of worship to that photograph, or you know, whatever, out of sand or something, whatever image of Krishna that he used to make, he used to worship that form. मात्रा प्रातर आशाय याचितः, एंड व्हेन हिज मदर कॉल्ड हिम फॉर ब्रेकफास्ट तद न इच्छत इच्छत, ही डिड नॉट वांट टू ईट बिकॉज हिज वर्शिप वॉज इनकम्प्लीट. सो इवन दो इट वॉज नॉट दैट ही it was not that his anyone asked him or told that, you know, this is what constitutes full worship and before your worship you should not go and eat. Nothing like that. It was his swaniyama. It was his own rule. And even though the mother would call him for breakfast, he would not go. So, playing as a boy of 5 years, he worshipped a 5-year-old form of Krishna using articles of worship that he had made. So, and it's not that Krishna was also a 5-year-old boy around the same age as Uddhava. But still, Uddhava actually worshipped that form of Krishna. Even though his mother called him for breakfast, he did not want to eat since he had not completed his worship. So, actually, there could have been many, many episodes of Uddhava from Uddhava's life that could have been quoted here by Srila Sukadeva Goswami to establish the supreme position of Uddhava. But interestingly, he is quoting an episode when he was just 5 years old. Even when he was 5 years old, you know, he showed actually symptoms of great attachment to Krishna. So Prabhupada also mentions his own example of how when he was young, you know, he was properly shaped by the devotion of his father and later by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthakur, like that. So these symptoms are very strong symptoms, but it is not necessary that all Vaishnavas need to show such symptoms, all exalted Vaishnavas. It is not a requisite condition. So, oftentimes, even perfected Vaishnavas, like if you see the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, you know, he was born in a family of Durga worshippers. So, therefore, you know, we had discussed this before. There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee that a devotee will take birth in a devotee family. This is not a guarantee that Krishna gives. Neha Bikramanashosti Pratyavayona Vidyate. When he says this, it is not necessary that Krishna will facilitate a devotee's practice of Krishna consciousness through birth. That is not necessary. So he may facilitate it in any different ways. It may not necessarily be through devotee parents. So therefore, neither are devotee parents guaranteed a devotee child, nor is a prior practitioner of devotional service guaranteed devotee parents. This may be possible. Krishna may choose to facilitate a living entity's bhakti through parents, but he may not also. It is not necessary. Oftentimes, you see, even amongst Prabhupada's disciples, you know, there were devotees who very clearly showed that they must have practiced the, you know, devotional service in their prior lives because they took up to Krishna consciousness just like a, you know, like a blazing fire consumes ghee with great thirst. You can clearly see the pace at which they progress. You know, it's like very clear that they must have followed, they must have already practiced Krishna consciousness in their prior lives. But if you see, they are born in families which may not be very conducive for Krishna consciousness. Like you see the case of Yamuna Mataji. Her father was a butcher. His profession was a butcher. Janaki Mataji and Yamuna Mataji's father. So, and also you see the case of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You see the case of Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. So, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, even while growing, initially he was worshipping Chandi. Then later he started, dabbling with various other religions, Christianity, Islam and everything. And finally he came across, when he was after 20 years old, when he came across a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then that became the turning point in his life when he embraced Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Okay. So, once a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he approached him and he asked him, why is it that very exalted Vaishnavas oftentimes seem to take birth in very not so glorious families? Why doesn't the Supreme Lord facilitate by giving them birth in a very favorable family? So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied that because through these examples, Krishna wants to show that progress in bhakti or taking up to bhakti is not dependent on any kind of material consideration, including birth. Okay. So that is not needed. So Krishna can facilitate one's progress in devotion in many different ways. So, therefore, we had discussed this before also. Yes, Uddhava did show very exalted characteristics right from a young age. But is that consistently, can that be taken as very, that every exalted devotee should show such a kind of worship right from a very young age? Not necessarily. That is not a necessary condition. Then according to such explanation, even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur has been, very clear, he was Kamala Manjari, an eternal associate of Krishna, but nevertheless, he did not show such very obvious symptoms right from a very young age. He was worshipping Chandi, then he was, he tried with Christianity, Islam and so many other religions, and then finally took up to Gaudiya Vaishnava practices. So this principle of facilitation through birth is not a, it's not a promise of Krishna to devotees. Of course, for the yogis, he says, Prapya Punya Kritam Loka Nushitva Shashwati Samaha Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. This kind of this kind of promise is there for others, for the yogis, but for the devotees, Krishna's facilitation of their devotion is not very stereotyped. Birth could be a way, but birth is not the only way. Okay. So oftentimes, therefore, devotees should not feel like, I am a devotee, my wife is a devotee, so definitely my son or daughter should be very exalted devotee, right? They must be born Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj like that. But that is not needed. That is not necessary. Maybe even if they may be like that, that need not be very evidently visible in a very young age. That is not necessary. Okay. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, in one sense, if you see, he did not very overtly show himself to be a very devotee, the great Vaishnavas of Navadvip used to pray, if only this Nimai one day becomes a Vaishnava, you know, the whole world could change. He's such an influential person, like that. So like that they were praying. So it is not necessary that, so this is not a promise. Neither does Krishna promise devotee parents that, you know, you will definitely get a devotee child, nor does Krishna promise the prayer practitioners of bhakti that you will definitely get devotee parents in your next life. This is not a guarantee. So, and so then one may say that, what about Garbhadana Samskar? Does Garbhadana Samskar guarantee a devotee child? Not necessarily. Garbhadana Samskar only guarantees that the child that you may be welcoming to the family may get a favorable devotional impression. That's all. So that could be if that soul does not, he may get some additional sukriti if he is not yet a devotee. If he is a devotee, he will, that devotion may get nourished by the Garbhadana Samskar. But all said and done, the Garbhadana Samskar itself is a Karmakandiya practice only. It is not a devotional practice. So the Dashavidha Samskaras, there are certain devotional adaptations to it, but they are not necessarily devotional. So, for example, the Garbhadana Samskar. The typical traditional Garbhadana Samskar involves performing particular activities so that, let's say, for example, a Brahmana husband and a Brahmana wife can invite a Brahmana soul as their child. That is a typical Garbhadana Samskar. Okay. But as devotees, and it's not like the typical Garbhadana Samskar is where the husband and wife come together and chant 64 rounds. You know, that is a very typical devotional adaptation, which we may call as Garbhadana Samskar. That is okay, no problem. You know, we may wish to call it, but that is not the traditional Garbhadana Samskar. Traditional Garbhadana Samskar is a Karmakandiya ritual. You know, so that a Brahmana husband and a Brahmana wife can invite a Brahmana child. That's all. But, you know, in the devotional adaptation of that Garbhadana Samskar, one may say that, okay, let us chant 64 rounds. But does that guarantee a devotee child? Not at all. That is not a guarantee. At the most, definitely because of the chanting and good consciousness, the child may get a favorable devotional impression. That's all. Okay. The child may get a favorable devotional impression. So, okay, someone says that my voice is not audible. Is it not audible? Oh, clear now. Okay, thank you. So this is not a guarantee. So at the most, we may give a very favorable devotional impression to the child. That's all. And if he is already a devotee, then that devotional impressions which are already there may get nourished. That's all. So now someone may say, no, 64 rounds chanting. Now, instead of 64 rounds chanting, what if the husband and wife are sitting together and hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures or their Guru Maharaj's lectures while making garlands for the Supreme Lord? Does it guarantee, so then is that not considered as Garbhadana Samskar? I mean, it does. The point is, one should be engaged in some spiritual activities. So basically, samskaras means what? Samskaras means impressions. Activities which lead to particular impressions which inspire future activities in a particular way. Okay. So our impressions, our samskaras are impressions which reinforce our identity. So therefore, the dashavida samskaras, which are performed on according to the varnashrama rules, they reinforce the identity of one's varna and ashrama. Okay. You are a brahmana and you are a brahmachari. You are a brahmana and you are a grihastha. You are a kshatriya and you are a grihastha. You know, these samskaras actually reinforce that false ego, the traditional samskaras. Whereas in bhakti, bhakti also has samskaras. What are bhakti samskaras? Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, pada sevanam, archanam, mandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. These are also samskaras, bhakti samskaras. Why? Because performance of these activities reinforces our true ego as the servant of Krishna. Right? So these are our samskaras. We don't need any other special samskaras. Doesn't matter. You may call it Garbhadana samskara. Doesn't matter. Someone does not even know anything about Garbhadana samskara. They are just busy serving their guru. Will that not have an impact on the child which is being conceived? Absolutely. Why not? But does it still guarantee that it will be a devotee child? Not necessarily. Maybe, may not be. But if it is not a punishment. Because preaching, because if someone who is already a devotee who comes to us for guidance, we guide them to better practice Krishna consciousness. But if someone who is a non-devotee who comes, we try to help them become devotees. So if that personality happens to be our children, what is the problem? If they are from the beginning only very much inclined for devotional service, we support them. But if they don't have that inclination, then we inspire them to become devotees, right? By giving them favorable Krishna conscious experiences. So therefore, this is not. So therefore, devotees are not worried. Just like devotees are not worried, if they get to preach to a devotee or a non-devotee, either ways. So similarly, if that child happens to be a devotee, they happily accept. If it's a non-devotee, they happily accept, depending on that's the nature of preaching that Krishna wants you to do. Preach to a devotee and inspire him in devotional service. Or preach to a non-devotee and inspire him to take up to devotional service. Either ways, it's okay. Why should devotees be so much concerned? Okay. So, when we perform something what we call as Garbhadana Samskar, it is just to give whatever may be the soul that Krishna is going to put under our care. Let us give them a good Krishna conscious vibrations. That's all. Okay. That's all. That is our understanding. Anyways, but having said that, definitely from a very young age, when a very distinct Krishna conscious inclination is seen, that is definitely very, very favorable. It is wonderful. But again, there is a catch here. I will just touch this point, because we may, of course, 5 years old showing such symptoms is very good. But oftentimes what happens is that till they reach an age where they can think for themselves and choose something for themselves, children oftentimes perform actions for two reasons. Either they imitate those actions which they also like doing. Okay, they may play mridanga, they may sing kirtan. Why? Because when a small child plays mridanga and sings kirtan, everyone appreciates. And who does not like to be appreciated? Right? Or sometimes they may do it out of force. If I don't do it, father will not, father and mother will not appreciate, you know. So craving for that appreciation, they may end up doing. But when they reach a particular age, when they can think for themselves, they may choose, okay, this is not what I want to do. So therefore, in the earlier ages, whatever they were doing were probably not very conscious, willing things. You know, they were probably not doing that because according to their value system, it was the right thing to do. They were probably doing it because they liked doing it, because they were getting appreciated. That's all. So therefore, even at 5 years old, if your son can play mridanga and sing kirtans like amazingly, it is not necessary that he has taken up devotional service. Maybe, may not be. Only when that soul reaches a particular age, so where he can clearly understand, you know, discriminate, you know, based on a particular value system, what is right, what is wrong, and all that. And based on his own choice, when he chooses bhakti, when there is absolutely no force, you know, that is the time you can understand, okay, he has actually embraced the path of bhakti. So therefore, if some child plays with Krishna doll, it is not 100% necessary that, you know, while these can be very critical indications, but they can be quite misleading also. It is not necessary like that. Okay. So you may see that at 5 years old, they are playing with Krishna dolls. Maybe when they are 8 years old, they may be playing video games. So, I mean, I don't know. Have you ever had such experiences, or maybe when they are 10 years old, they don't want to take up the Krishna consciousness. I don't know if you have anytime had this kind of an experience, you know. Arey, abhi kya ho gaya usko? You know, what happened to him now? You know, till now, till he was 10 years old, Prabhuji, always, all kirtans, all he would be playing mridanga. Now, no, he does not want to do. He's sitting with his phone all the time, like that. Right? So oftentimes you see this. Anyways, but in the case of Uddhava, because his whole history is known, therefore what he showed when he was 5 years old was very genuine. Okay? But many times what we may see in our children may not be absolutely genuine. The only point is don't get too excited. That's the point. Don't get too excited by what you see in a 5, 6 year old, 8 year old child. Okay? You know, keep encouraging, keep encouraging, keep encouraging. But at some point, he seems to lose interest in Krishna consciousness. Don't get morose and dejected. Oh, what happened to him like that? Oh, maybe we were the cause like that. So we don't have to think like anyways. Sakatam sevaya tasya kalena jarasamgatah prishto vartam pratibruyat bartuh pada anusmaran. Saha katam kalena jarasam gatah. How could Uddhava, who did not age, tasya sevaya, because of his service to the Lord, Uddhava did not age at all. Now this has to be understood. What does it mean? Prishtaha vartam. When that Uddhava, who was so, right from such an young age, was so absorbed in worshipping Krishna, when he was asked by Vidura about the news about Krishna, saha katam pratibruyat, how could he reply? Because bartuhu padav anusmaran, because he began to immediately remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, how could he reply? So even though years passed, he did not age, being under the influence of the service to Krishna. So this is one understanding. But another meaning is, under the influence of service performed at the proper time, he did not age. Because of He did not age means not that the years did not pass or he did not show the maturity of aging. What it means is, Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Udyan Astam Chayan Asau Tasya Riteya Kshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. For one who is engaged in Uttama Shloka Varta, every rising and passing of the sun takes him one step closer to eternal life. So, such a person is not said to be aging in a, not in a typical sense, but in a, in this particular sense, because he is coming closer to eternal life in that sense. The word Kale should not be taken to mean with time, since that would mean that Uddhava was influenced by time. Kale na jarasam gataha, which means he was not growing old according to time, which means he was growing old as a pastime, but he was not under the influence of material time. That's what it means. So it would contradict the statement, tatra pravayaso pyasan yuvano ti balaujasaha. The 10th canto, 45th chapter says, even the most elderly inhabitants of the city appeared youthful, full of strength and vitality. So they grew up, but still they showed strength and vitality because they were getting nourished by their service to Krishna. They were feeling nourished by their service to Krishna. Samuhurtam abhutushnim Krishnangri sudaya brisham tivrena bhakti yogena nimagna sadhu nirvritaha saha muhurtam abhutushnim. So one muhurta sometimes can be taken to mean, the word muhurta or any other small unit of time can sometimes be used literally, sometimes it's just used in a very generic way. So oftentimes the word muhurta, kshana, like that is used in generic ways, you know, a moment for a short while, like that. Of course, here, His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj translates it as in a very literal way, for 48 minutes he remained silent. Well, yeah, probably he did. Okay. Sadhu Nirvritaha. Since he had become peaceful and blissful, Krishnangri Sudaya Nimagnaha, being submerged in the sweetness of Krishna's lotus feet, he became peaceful and blissful. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Drisham, which arose from prema caused by intense separation. So as soon as he heard the questions from Vidura seeking, he was requesting him to speak about Krishna's pastimes. So being submerged in the sweetness of Krishna's lotus feet and feeling intense separation from him, he remained silent for a muhurta. So this verse describes his remembrance of Krishna. When he recovered from fainting by the questions of Vidura, Uddhava exclaimed, "Oh, I have been separated from my master." He remained silent for 48 minutes, muhurtam, because of relishing the nectar of Krishna's beauty attained by meeting the Lord directly through remembrance of his lotus feet. So, through remembrance, he directly met the Supreme Lord. He was just relishing Krishna's beauty through such meeting. He became submerged in the sweetness of prema, which appeared when the pain of separation from Krishna increased. When the pain of separation from Krishna increased, he became submerged in the sweetness of prema. This made him forget his previous pain. He remained he remained in this blissful state for about a muhurta. And he did not answer, because he was just blissfully relishing the beauty of Krishna. Okay. So, I think, we have, let's pause here. Maybe there, I'm anticipating there might be some questions. There are already some questions. So, We will pause here and to see if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. There is something already in the chat box. Let's take them first and then we will go to verbal questions. Okay. How to understand the withdrawing of Lord's mercy after disappearance from this material world? This was a specific case with Vidura. So Vidura, Krishna's promise was, as long as I am here, before you go to any place, I will be there waiting for you. So that was the specific promise of Vidura, of the Supreme Lord to Vidura. And after that, through the association of Uddhava and Maitreya, Vidura again experienced the presence of Krishna through the conversations like that. Okay, next question. How to invite a devotee soul as a child? Well, we can pray to Krishna. If Krishna chooses to respond to our prayers, maybe we may get, but that is no guarantee, because it's not a guarantee that every prayer will be answered. Sometimes Krishna may give us something better than our prayers also. Okay, if he thinks what we are praying for is not the best thing that we are praying for, Krishna may sometimes not fulfill that prayer also. He may not necessarily invite a devotee soul as a child, so that you better learn how to deal with non-devotees. Probably as a preacher, sometimes when we very immaturely deal with non-devotees, Krishna may say, okay, I will teach you nicely through your own child. And he may give a non-devotee, and then by that, the parent preacher may learn, okay, oh, so I made all these mistakes, so I should correct these mistakes. The child may teach. We never know. Krishna's plans always prevail. Okay, next question. Along with the benefit of the soul, the Garbhadhan ward devotees practice gives a good mood of service, the service attitude to the parents for the service they will be taking up. Yeah, so what we call as Garbhadhan, okay, whatever it is, we may wish to call it Garbhadhan or we may wish to call it anything else, but the point is, yes, inviting a soul into our family is a very very grave thing. So definitely one should have the proper attitude to invite the child. So definitely it is definitely it helps the child, but it creates the right kind of gravity to the parents, that understanding that it's a very responsible thing like that. So yes, very much true. Yeah, it's purely in Krishna's hands. It seems Uddhava mentioned regarding age is bodily aging. Yeah, sometimes bodily, like it is mentioned that vitality, you know what was mentioned here? You know, it is mentioned Kalena Jarasam Gata. What was the previous verse, right? Yeah, so it is mentioned that even the most elderly inhabitants of the city appeared youthful. So the biological age was ticking, but still they appeared very, very youthful, full of strength and vitality. So in that sense, because he was very happily engaged in the service of Krishna, he didn't show the actual signs of old age like that. Okay, next question. Whether Varnashram designations are designations of the soul? Of course not. They are the designations of the body only. They are not at all the designations of soul. If so, whether particular soul is eternally Brahmana or Kshatriya? Not at all. Not at all. How can a soul be eternally Brahmana or Kshatriya? A soul is not even guaranteed a human birth in the next life. How can that soul be eternally Brahmana or Kshatriya? Not at all possible. You know, it is absolute a designation of the body only. It has nothing to do with the soul. Okay, there is another question. Okay. Apathy towards the deities and lack of attraction and taste in the practices of bhakti are clear indication of deep-rooted anarthas from past and present lives. How to maintain enthusiasm as a sadhaka in face of such inescapable ground realities? The process of anartha nivritti can stretch over the entire lifetime and very draining. What is the way forward? Association. That is the way forward. Because what we don't have, because on the path of bhakti, what we don't have, we can borrow. And we can borrow it only from devotees. Okay. So therefore, it is very critical to have good, meaningful relationships with devotees. So that whatever we don't have, we can borrow from them. And the beauty is that even when we borrow from them, they don't lose it. So they are very happy to share. So, yes, anartha nivritti can be very draining. It can be very daunting. But we don't have to struggle alone. When did Krishna say that it is your individual personal struggle? We don't necessarily have to do it. We can always take help. And in order to take help, we should have invested in that relationship. So if we have such meaningful relationships with devotees, then we can always borrow. That's not a problem. Okay, next question. Is it okay for a devotee couple to adopt a child as we don't know in what consciousness that the child was born? But as you mentioned that we can preach a non-devotee child to take up to bhakti, is adoption recommended? I don't see a problem with it. I don't know about I don't know what the Dharma Shastras say about it, but if someone wishes to adopt a child, is there a problem? I don't know. Maybe not. Because it is like rather than that child growing in an orphanage eating non-prasadam, if you want to facilitate, bring the child home, give parental love by which the child may get more and more favorable impressions and become a devotee. In essence, I don't. I don't see a serious issue with it. I don't know. There could be practical problems with it. I am not going to touch that. But in essence, it is okay. I don't see any. In principle, I don't see a problem. But in practice, there could be issues. But in principle, I don't see an issue. Then how can non-devotees pray for inviting a Brahmana soul? Well, it's not that exactly only by Garbhadhana see, not for inviting a Brahmana soul. The soul who is going to come can get some Brahmanical samskaras. Because the husband is a Brahmana, the wife is a Brahmana, if they were properly practicing Brahmanas, it is very likely that only a soul with a Brahmanical inclination will be attracted to that family. So, and Garbhadhana Samskara is actually a samskara which reinforces that identity of being a Brahmana. So, it's not just that, just by that samskara, someone gets a Brahmanic child. It's not like that. Rather, it is the other way around. Because they have lived a Brahmanical life throughout their life, it is very likely that they may get a Brahmanical child, and when he comes, he should get proper Brahmanical samskaras. For that, Garbhadhana samskara is practiced. So, to the point on there is no guarantee of birth for a devotee, is this an exception or in general? I said there is no guarantee. I never said a devotee can never get a devotee child or a devotee can always get a devotee child. I said it's not a guarantee. They may get, may not get. Sometimes Krishna may choose to facilitate the growth of the devotional growth of a child by giving devotee parents. Sometimes it may happen through devotee friends, sometimes it may happen in some other way. So facilitation through birth is not a guarantee. Means it may happen, it may not happen. But Krishna's facilitation is not stereotyped. If it is in general, does it not make room for Advaiti to argue that there is no free will at all and that everything is predestined according to the Supreme Lord? No. See, in terms of karma, those who are within karma, there is a lot of destiny. But when it comes to Krishna, Krishna's plan prevails. And Krishna's plan is not stereotyped. Law of karma is fairly stereotyped. Okay? But Krishna's functioning, especially his intervention in devotees' life, is not stereotyped. So Krishna can facilitate devotional service in many different ways. Through parents is one such way. So therefore, no. Okay, there's another question. Devotees quote the examples of Dasharatha Maharaj giving away Shanta to his childless friend for adoption. Yeah, there are examples. Adoption has been there, but there may be some rules, Dharma Shastric rules, who can adopt for what purposes and what are the rules and all those things. I don't know those rules. But as devotees, is it can they adopt? As I said, there could be practical issues, but in principle, I don't see an issue in principle. That's my understanding. I don't know. I may be wrong also. Yes, Kesho Priyamani.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, when we are living in a community as the practicing devotees, many are getting children also, Prabhuji, and those children are right from the birth, they're not like they're eating prasadam. They are like their entertainment itself is with Krishna conscious entertainment. They come every Sunday, they come to the temple, and it looks like that. But sometimes, as you rightly said, Prabhuji, at a certain stage, actually, the children are bewildering, Prabhuji, when they enter into my, especially when they enter into college, you know, Prabhuji. Till then, they are at least safe, but they're also they really don't know the outside world is different and this world is different. And I could see one or two children sharing this with us, Prabhuji. Like, so how to understand, like, what is the proper guidance for those children, Prabhuji? Because they also getting I mean, exposed to many new things outside and also, no, Prabhuji, after a certain age.
That is a different thing. First thing, if they are asking us for guidance, then it means probably they have devotional inclination. But if they are not asking us for guidance, we don't have to volunteer for it. Probably, so for that, first thing, they have to consider us as authorities and seek guidance. So if they are seeking guidance, it means they have embraced the path of devotion. Because at that age, if they are seeking guidance from a devotee, Prabhuji, I'm struggling, you know, my external environment is like that and I'm getting influenced, which means they already have received the seed of devotion at that age. So, but if they are not asking and we are seeing that they are not interested, no, when they can say no, when they reach an age where they can say no and get away with it, and if they are saying no to Krishna consciousness, then we have to patiently wait. We cannot force. But till the time when they cannot say no to their parents, their acceptance may be or may not be willingly. But when they can say no, and at that time when they say no, then at that point we cannot force. We can say, okay, wait and watch. We can just be nice to them, you know, be available as a friend to them, so that gradually, through more and more appreciation, they can get more sukriti, and at some point they may become devotees. So, but if someone is directly coming to us and telling that, oh, we are going to college, it's very difficult, you know, like that, then it means that they have already received the seed of devotion.
Wonderful, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, and one or two examples I see, Prabhuji, like some devotees, they come into Krishna consciousness because of their children only, Prabhuji. First, the child gets attracted through summer camp or through anything else, and after a few years, these people practice well, Prabhuji. But that boy or girl, they totally moved away, Prabhuji. Two examples I know in my own community, Prabhuji. Those two, I mean, they totally like they hating to come in like that. They moved away, Prabhuji. So how to understand such a situations, Prabhuji?
Because they came for the summer camp, they didn't come for Krishna consciousness. They came
No,
for
but
some
they
fun.
liked and they asked even their parents to come. I mean, initially they were very favorable because of the child, the parents came in, Prabhuji.
Yeah, but when the
After a few
child
years.
came, that what the child liked, we do not know. The child, see, it's not that you are throughout the day making the child sit and read Bhagavad Gita, no? There are some fun activities also. Children like other children's company and some together having some fun activities. If ISKCON facilitates it, they will come. If someone else facilitates it, they would have gone there. So they enjoyed doing it, you know, group activities. It might be even shloka memorization. I mean, they might have done it just like they are, you know, in a competitive mode. You know, I should do better than the other person. You know, I will get some gift if I memorize like that in that mood. But when they come to a stage where they can understand philosophy and kind of decide for themselves whether this is what I wish to do in my life, at that time they may not choose Krishna consciousness, and it's okay.
Okay, Prabhuji. So their parents are bewildered. They used to share with me. Because of him, I came. Now he is not only moved away, Prabhuji, even the regulative principles also they break. So parents are so worried. Because of him, I came into Krishna consciousness, but he's not taking. I
Yeah,
can hear like that,
but
Prabhuji.
when he came for a different reason, you know, because they were not at the age where they could think for themselves. So they
Okay.
became attracted on a very superficial level. But parents, because they are grown up, when they come for a deeper reason. And when they take up for a deeper reason. So they stay. So that is why when Prahlad Maharaj says, Kaumaram Acharet Pragyo, you know, at least one has to reach the Kaumara Avastha. At Balyavastha, you know, the intelligence is not so developed where they can actually consciously for the right reason take up to devotional service. But when they grow up to a particular age, when their intelligence becomes when their intelligence actually start blossoming, where they can very clearly discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. And at that stage, when they take up to Krishna consciousness, they are consciously taking. Till then, you know, children will do whatever the parents do or ask them to do or appreciate them for. They will keep doing it because they want that appreciation, that pampering and all that. If you keep appreciating them for Krishna consciousness, they will keep doing it. But at some stage, they will grow beyond that. So they will develop individualistic tendencies and characteristics. At that time, they may not necessarily like Krishna consciousness. So for that, we have to wait and be nice to them, be nice to them, be nice to them, not judge them for not performing Krishna consciousness. And at some stage, if that Sukriti level builds up, then at some point they may consciously take up to Krishna consciousness also.
So the Sukriti they received even for the minimum time that will stay forever, no, Prabhuji. That
That
will
will
be
stay.
there with it.
Yeah, that will be there. That will be there.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay. One final comment here, I think. Every seed has different time frame for that seed to grow to a sapling, to a plant, to a tree. That is also true. And when they will get a very, even if the seed has been planted, when that seed may receive actually a favorable environment to actually grow, we do not know. So, yeah, we have to wait. Maybe the parents may not be the right persons to give that impetus to make that next push for the child. They may need a different kind of association. And when they get that, they may flourish. Yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Bro, this adaptation, the one simple thing what I understood is they should be it should be done very carefully. Means the process, what I understood is they have to see from whom, like Janaka Maharaj giving, he is giving to another king. So he knows the source, the origin we should know. Any product we take, we want to see who manufactured it, how it came. The source is very important. That will help them. If
What
he's
adaptation you're talking about, Prabhu? I'm not able
child
to.
adaptation, no? They're asking
Oh,
whether.
child adopt. Oh, child adoption. Okay.
Yeah, we should be very careful because we always, any product we take, we want to see who manufactured it and all. So from where it is coming will make so much difference. And why sanskaras, this Garbhadhan sanskar and all, is basically if their kshatriya, in most of the cases, it works like the principle is it works like that. If a kshatriya, they do Garbhadhan sanskar, they will get kshatriyas, brahmanas, because that is the procedure, because that is the state of their consciousness, and most of the time they attract it. Exception is sometimes even exceptional cases also they give the reason, like when Kamsa was born, they told about wife of Ugrasen, how it happened, and even Hiranyakashipu's wife, how Prahlad entered. Even in exceptional cases also they give the Puranas, they give the reason, this is the reason because that time Hiranyakashipu was just hearing, he heard from Narada Muni, Narayana, Narayana. He just was irritated and he was also saying Narayana. And that is the time Prahlad was conceived. So he entered into the. So the even exceptional cases also given, because the general principle, what I'm understanding is, if the consciousness is what matters, and in devotees' cases, Krishna may intervene and do some other thing. But in general, the principle is that's how the system works. Your state of consciousness, you are attracting that soul. That is a principle that is given in Varnashrama and people have to follow it. And when it comes to adaptation, the thing is that we are the person whom they are taking, they should also be of same origin or of a very good quality. Because if they take a criminal, and their whole life will be miserable. The child is of that quality, then the life becomes very miserable for them. So in general, they have to choose from whom they are getting. That's why generally in previous time, the adaptation is only within their families, like their sister's child or brother's child. They used to adopt within their families only because they know from where the origin, the source is coming. It is safe in that way. So, and in general, Garbhadhan Sanskara, the product will be based on the consciousness only. Maybe exceptions when Krishna chooses devotees and exception will be there. And another thing regarding children, I found, Prabhu, that after age of 13, that is the time they are making choices, because their buddhi, after age of 13 to 15, their buddhi is completely grown. It starts from the age of 5, and by age of 15, it is completely mature in one way. Then they make the choice. They make the choice to what direction they go in life, and that is the time we can know that whether they want to take it up or not. And in some cases, they may not immediately take because they know this is there. They want to try what is outside. They'll compare, then they'll come back. So some people are little curious.
Oftentimes children have this thing that you never allowed me to try it out. So they adamantly want to try it out.
They are
So
curious to know what is outside, so they
yeah.
try it and then they come back. And most of the time they come back, maybe it may take time,
Yeah.
but because they have seen both worlds. And why devotees, the children, they leave from Krishna consciousness, because they see hypocrisy. That is what makes many of the children, they go away when they see their parents are fighting, they see their hypocrisy within the parents, they say something, they practice something within devotees. This is what is mainly hurts, because children, they immediately catch very fast. They don't, they should not see any hypocrisy in terms, at least some example whom they accept as example, they should be of very good standard, and that will also protect them. Yes, this Prabhujina whole life is very good for me. And
Yeah.
that one Prabhuji is going to protect that child in future also.
Exactly. So oftentimes, that's a very nice point. I didn't want to bring it up, but anyways, because you brought it. Because oftentimes, parents may be, rather than being a main source of Agyata Sukriti, they may become a serious source of Agyata Dushkriti for the child. because even though both may be very 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 sincere practitioners, but dealing with their own anarthas. And because the child gets to see the parents in that vulnerable situation more often than what he should be seeing, and because a child's kind of a young mind is very impressionable mind, so it may create an he may perceive it as serious hypocrisy. He's telling something, but he's doing something. When he's preaching, he's telling something, but he himself is doing it. He may see it like that. So therefore, it's a serious, actually, responsibility, because this can, so that's why oftentimes, for such children, an outsider's and some other devotee's association might actually be a serious influence than their own parents. But of course, what to do? Just because they are parents, they are also struggling sadhakas only. They may take their own time, and oftentimes they may stumble and fall, stumble and fall, stumble and fall. Ultimately, maturity, devotional maturity is the devotional maturity of the soul. It is not devotional maturity of the body. So even though they may be parents, but they may have meager devotional maturity, so they may be struggling with their own anarthas, and when the child sees that, it may have a not so pleasant experience, influence on the child, especially if they are not maturely dealing with it. So yeah, it may be possible that the child gets lot of Agyata Dushkriti from their parents rather than Agyata Sukriti. So it becomes a issue there. That's a very nice point that you brought up, though.
Yeah, so if they are doing it so nicely, Krishna will definitely help. That is what I understand. And it is based on the consciousness. And what most of the thing is, if they can make their life in goodness and they give the taste of mode of goodness to the children whom they have, that is the success. And after goodness, if they want to choose to go to spiritual life or they want to live a dharmic life, depends. But they have a choice of giving them a very dharmic, very sattvic life by their own role model. That is the best example. If they are very regulated and giving sattva guna, the taste for sattva guna. Any people, why they are going outside is the taste is they are in rajoguna taste and tamoguna taste. But if they get taste for sattva guna and the lower modes are given up, that itself is what is success. That is the only thing parents can do. After that, taking Krishna consciousness is up to the child.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. So at home, if they grow up in a devotionally surcharged, at the same time, consciously, if it is sattvaguni, then it will not necessarily nourish the rajo and tamo guna. And then when they go out, they are at least seeking sattvaguni pleasures that will at least, even in case if they don't get, if the seed of devotion may not have been sown, at least they will seek out for some sattvaguni pleasure outside, till the Agyata Sukriti gets, it reaches the threshold and they actually take up to Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
And
Thank you, sir.
most of our families, whoever is there, I think everybody can know that their family, they had this Sattva Guna environment, some exceptions. That's how we are here.
That's how we are where?
We are practicing because we had that Sattva Guna environment at home. Most of the devotees who are attending, they may all have this experience. Their parents are little sattvic, most of the places, and that's the reason we are here. Even they may not be devotees sometimes, but the environment was sattvic at home, so it helped her to take Krishna consciousness very fast.
Maybe, yeah, maybe not necessarily a sufficient condition, but probably that could have some effect. But that definitely that's not a reason to take up to Krishna consciousness for sure, because that sattvaguni piety has nothing to do with taking up to Krishna consciousness, because that is a totally different thing. But yes, definitely that sattvaguni piety with which one grows up definitely may give certain qualities which are favorable for practicing Krishna consciousness over a, but after some time, but not to take up to Krishna consciousness, because
Continue Krishna consciousness, it helps.
yeah, to some extent, yes, definitely
To
it
continue
helps.
Krishna consciousness, we need sattva, because that's what happened when Prabhupada went. He could make many people Krishna conscious, but in India we are able to maintain because the environment is very conducive in India compared to West. It is sattvic.
Yeah, so definitely, yeah, in one sense, we can say that if someone already had some sattva, it may give some favorable, you can say, impetus to practice Krishna consciousness, but definitely not to take up to Krishna consciousness. That
Yeah,
is
because
my strongest.
Prabhupada wanted, he was in the end of his life, he's trying to help maintain Sattva Guna. That's what his final instructions, if we see, because that is very conducive to maintain Krishna consciousness. So that's the environment at home, at any places we have to do.
Yeah, so a few adjustments we consciously try to do, but the primary means by which devotees can get sattva guna is by sincere practice of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Because tada rajas tamo bhava kamalobha cheteyate ranavidam sthitam sattve prasidati. So therefore, because oftentimes it should not happen that we get too busy with cultivating sattva, while not realizing that the best way to cultivate sattva is by cultivating devotional service. So that, of course, one should neither go to both extremes, that either of the extremes, thinking that it doesn't matter, I will eat whatever I want, I will, as long as I am performing devotional service, it does not matter. The food can also be rajasic, tamasic. No, not like that. But at the same time, it's not that we try to get into sattva is important. We go on the sattva hunt and and maybe neglect Krishna consciousness. We have to understand that the prime way of cultivating sattva for a devotee is by sincere practice of Krishna consciousness. So when we do that, naturally the influence of rajogun and tamogun would be subdued and sattva would become prominent like that. Okay, so we will pause here and we will continue this discussion tomorrow. So, yeah, Govind Hari Prabhu says, and many devotees became hippies afterwards. Sangha and attitude decides. Yeah, that is very true. Okay, so thank you very much. We will continue this discussion tomorrow. And yeah, actually, one thing I wanted to just inform before you drop out, still quite a few devotees are there. Next week, we have a festival here at Shravanotsav festival here at Chennai Temple. So I will be there almost throughout the day. So next whole week, the morning 7:15 to 8:15 Bhagavatam Vishnachakatha course session will not be there, and the afternoon sessions will also not be there for the next whole week, because on Friday we are going for a small yatra. So next whole week it won't be there, but the evening sessions will be there from Monday to Thursday. The evening session, because I'll be back by then, and the evening 7 to 9 sessions will be there from Monday to Thursday. But morning Bhagavatam and afternoon Brihad Bhagavatamrita and 10th Canto Bhagavatam will not be there next whole week. But the evening sessions will be there. But tomorrow we have all three sessions. Today also we have all three sessions. What I'm telling is from Monday onwards. Just giving you, just in case you might want to do something else, I'm telling you beforehand so that you can schedule it accordingly. Thank you very much. We will meet again for Bhagavatam tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.